Hey guys, welcome back to another Legit Astronomy Review. Today we're going to be talking about January and February. Ooh. Kicking us off right is Carson, dear. What do you got going on, Sunny right. Boy?
All right.
Sunny Boy.
Easy there.
First off, we got some new information in January for colliding galaxies, it looks like. Basically, the new simulations have discovered that, so used to, everybody thought that the supermassive black holes inside of galaxies would get bigger, or like they would increase whenever two galaxies collided, but the recent studies show that when two galaxies collide, matter can actually get pulled away from the supermassive black holes that actually feed them. So what actually could happen is one of the galaxies could end up like dying whenever they collide.
Wait, so is the black hole shrinking, or is it just
what's happening in these simulations?
No longer gaining size.
What's happening is one of the galaxies that's passing by ends up taking the mass and matter around the black hole that's feeding it and takes it with it, and then the supermassive black hole has not as much matter feeding it and
fuel it. So does it shrink in size after that is taken away, or does it remain the same size? I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, it depends, but what's the main takeaway is that the fact that not every time two galaxies collide, it's a big giant explosion, or they become one galaxy.
And it's feeding the black hole too. It can change.
I see. Yeah, it also takes it. So scientists didn't really think about that too much.
I ascertained that black holes can die.
Which is freaking awesome.
Let's do it.
Right.
Black holes can die, so
that
makes me feel immortal.
Oh my god.
Actually the opposite. I'm going to die very soon.
Okay. so on the...
Relatively.
So we got another mission for the future. NASA's Ooh. Roman mission. It's going to be sent out to observe hot Jupiters and brown dwarfs is going to be its main purpose. It's going to be sometime in the mid-2020s. The Roman mission is going to, the probe itself is going to be using something called microlensing, which basically it uses the light in the background from like massive stars to help find planets and other exoplanets out there. So like the contrast between them make it easier to detect these planets. And so that's the main purpose of this probe, is to find that. And then it's going to be capable of finding very far objects. And one of the main things they're going to be looking for is in earlier regions of the galaxy where there are a bunch of old stars, and they're going to be looking to see the relationship between hot Jupiters and their stars, to see whether or not these hot Jupiters actually form closer or further away from their stars and get pulled in. Let's see what else we got here.
Really good.
So Hubble has seen a molten ring. So basically this was predicted in Einstein's general theory of relativity, and it explains an object's unusual shape due to gravitational lensing. So what it's saying is basically gravity can change the way we see light, and so in this case there are a group of galaxies that are pretty close together and through the telescope, and what it did was the galaxies in front of one of them, actually the gravity from them made the light turn and made a ring shape, because it like just morphed the light around the gravity. So it looks kind of cool. It looks like a ring.
It looks like what is happening here is that we're looking at a picture of a galaxy that would just be completely circular, but instead it's morphed into this weird looking ring because of the gravitational fields around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the galaxies in front of it kind of make the make it appear a lot different than it is.
So it's like looking through a screen, basically. Everything you're seeing on the other side is due to those galaxies. Okay.
We also found the first cloudless Jupiter-like planet. It was discovered, the findings were published in January. It's another WASP planet. It's 62b is what it's called. And WASPs are usually just exoplanets they find. I'm not familiar why they call them that, but... So pretty much what I understand from this is they found this planet a while ago, and then they dug it back up and decided to take data on it. And so what they found was most hot Jupiters have really big atmospheres filled with clouds and stuff. And so one of the tests they do on these planets is for, I believe it's sodium. It'd be a sodium. They look for sodium absorption lines, are what they're called. And
They're looking for different points of light in a light spectrum that don't return because it's been absorbed by that substance. So in this case, they're using sodium.
Yeah, and so usually what happens is the atmospheres make it a lot harder to see these lines, and so they're a lot more faint. And in this case, they found a Jupiter that doesn't seem to have a cloud, like a cloudy atmosphere. So it's like Jupiter, but no clouds and storms, is what it looks like.
Oh, so you're saying basically the data they got back,
they didn't detect sodium? They were able to catch sodium super cleanly.
Okay.
To where they were able to say that there's no interference from an atmosphere. So they predict that it does not actually have any clouds and stuff on this.
So it's a terrestrial planet that's the size of Jupiter?
It's smaller than Jupiter, and it's a super hot Jupiter, actually.
Oh, okay.
And so it's close to its star, but that's pretty cool.
So it's just very large and very close to its star.
Another one I'm seeing here is a planet that is an exoplanet that's in a three-star system. And so it says that, so there, imagine a figure eight, kind of an orbit pattern. So two of these stars are spinning in a figure eight looking thing around each other, and on one of those stars there's actually a planet. And then the third star of this system is actually orbiting the two middle stars, but that only orbits around every 400 years, and the other two stars orbit each other every 30 years. And so they found a super hot Saturn is what I think it's classified as, and it's actually spinning around one of the stars, and so they're currently studying that. And then I think our last subject is on, let's see here. Oh yeah, four new concepts for this NASA space missions. Let's start here with Aspera. This one's going to be a small sat, and it's going to be studying galaxy evolution and hammering in on gas clumps and hot gas, and it's going to be looking into star formations and how galaxies are made. Pandora is a small sat. It's going to be studying a certain set of stars and exoplanets. It says 20 stars and 39 exoplanets here. And it's going to be using infrared light to do this. And so that one's going to be very specific on what it's studying. And then we have Starburst. It's another small sat. It's going to be detecting high energy gamma rays. And so it's going to be looking for really intense and dense stellar remnants. Neutron stars, it says here. And it's going to be looking for pretty big events that happened later, I guess, because light that reaches Earth, it's actually in the past. Let's see here. And then PUEO, that one's actually a balloon mission, and this one's going to be looking for super high energy occurrences in space. And so That one doesn't say what it's going to be using to... No, I don't see anything on what it's going to be using, what energy it's going to use. But it's going to be looking for super high energy occurrences in space. So those are four, like, concepts that NASA is looking into right now for their small missions. That's all I have. McRae?
All right. We're moving on to McRae now, who's going to tell us about the observational opportunities that we had in January.
Well, before we begin with this observational in January, the universal time is 3:17, so I'm off the clock,
3:17
boys.
Currently?
Yeah, I'm off
really?
The clock, boys, universally speaking.
All right.
All right, so in January 2nd and 3rd, we had the Quadrantids meteor shower. The Quadrantid meteor shower is a slightly above average shower, which reaches up to 40 meteors per hour at its peak. This is an annual thing, obviously. It happens between January 1st and January 5th. This year, it's going to reach its peak at the night of January 2nd and the morning of January 3rd. Waning Gibbous moon will block out most of the faintest meteors this year, but if you're patient, you should be able to catch a few good ones.
Nice.
Coming up next, January 13th, we have a new moon. I'm going to miss the old one. The new moon will be located the same side of the Earth as the sun and will not be visible in the night sky, sadly, at 5:02 universal time. January 24th, Mercury at its greatest eastern elongation. The planet Mercury reaches greatest eastern elongation of 18.6 degrees from the sun. January 28th, we have a full moon. The moon will be located on the opposite side of the Earth, as mentioned earlier. On February 11th, I know this past January. I'm gonna hippity hoppity.
Right. I don't think we know because Elijah's got some.
I'm not gonna take up much. I'm really just gonna be talking about the moon, my guy.
Okay. February 11th. Go ahead. I'll let him have this one.
Well, if you let me finish, Elijah.
Okay.
February 11th is whenever we get our new moon, and then February 27th is where we get our full moon, and that's really all I have for the observational portion of this. So,
not a lot for January.
Not a whole lot for January this time.
Kind of a boring year, you know what I'm saying? Or a month.
Boring month, yeah.
You stop it.
Boring start to a year.
Boring start to a year. Let's hope we end it off with a bang.
Actually, I wouldn't go that far. It's 21. It's 2021, dude.
2021, let's hope it ends off with a bang.
No. The year would take it literally.
Let's hope. All right, Elijah, all right. We're moving straight on to you, my guy.
We're moving on to February. We're going to start with not observational opportunities, but more so like rocket launches and satellites.
Sweet.
So on February 4th, the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched. We are recording this on the 8th, so up until that point, everything that I'm talking about has already happened. So, February 4th, this Falcon 9 rocket has launched about 60 satellites for SpaceX's Starlink broadband network. So, it lifted off from Cape Canaveral, Florida at 1:19 a.m.
Could we elaborate on the Starlink mission? Because I don't think we've gone over that in our past this month of astronomies, but I think we have mentioned a couple of Falcon 9 launches.
So we don't know what Starlink is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so
for the viewers.
Yeah, so Starlink is a program headed by Elon Musk through the SpaceX Foundation, and the Starlink program is something that Elon Musk wants to do. He wants to send all these satellites into orbit to build a broadband communication network, basically Wi-Fi routers, just like in outer space,
yeah,
orbiting the Earth, so providing internet access for pretty much everybody all across the world. Now, this is heavily politicized because a lot of regions are saying they would actually penalize their citizens for using this, which we're not going to get into that.
Sucks.
So,
astronomy. Not trying to get political.
Not trying to get political in this month in astronomy. Yeah,
but we.
It is attached to politics, which is why we had to bring it up.
Yeah.
But
I was just saying we talked about the Falcon 9 launches, but I don't think we ever really talked about what the Starlink mission was. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then on February 5th, so literally the day after, he launches another Falcon 9 rocket carrying another 60 satellites. This is for Starlink 17, so the one launched on the 14th was Starlink 18. So I believe there has to be like 25 launches before Starlink is up and complete. I'm not exactly sure on that, so don't quote me.
No promises.
February 9th, the United Arab Emirates sends their first mission to Mars, which is the Hope Orbiter, which will arrive at the Red Planet. February 10th, China's Taiwan 1 Mars mission, which consists of an orbiter and a lander, will arrive in orbit around the planet. So the rover may not land until around May, but it will arrive around the orbit of the planet.
Cool.
And then, of course, February 11th, we have the new moon, like McCray has already covered for us. And on the 14th, we have a Russian Soyuz rocket, which will launch the Progress 77 cargo to resupply the International Space Station. Looks like February 22nd, we have another cargo resupply spacecraft being sent to the International Space Station. This will be at around 9:30 GMT time, so you could watch it live if you wanted to.
Really?
Yes. February 25th, a Russian Soyuz rocket will launch carrying 36 satellites. So this isn't for Starlink. This 36 satellite is for a project through OneWeb, which is like an internet constellation service. And yeah, it's cool.
You're cool.
And then February 27th is the full moon of February, the full snow moon, as it's called. This will be the last greatest thing ending up with our month of February. So
looking forward to all those events.
Looking forward to seeing all those.
Probably concludes our podcast for today. McCray, do you have any thoughts or comments?
I just want to say that I'm so proud of where we are. I'm so proud of you guys.
It's been a pleasure being with you guys.
This team and where we are. And
that's right.
Yep. Well,
tune in later for the next installation of This Month in Astronomy next month.